Hello, welcome to Spiritual Not Religious. This is Tracy Rowe, and today in my, what would be a studio if I had a studio, is Nate Rowe, who is a musician and creative person and artistic spirit. And spoiler alert, he's also my kid, but I am today going to be able to ask him a lot of questions about his what I like to call the origin story of his superpowers of being an amazing guitarist and pianist and songwriter and music writer and all kinds of stuff. So Nathan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
So what I would like to do to start is I'd like to hear a little bit about when you very, very first were attracted to learning to play the guitar, because that's the musical instrument that we happen to have all dusty and broken underneath the master bed. Yeah. And you were never pushed or prodded to learn music. It was something that you just had a passion for. I remember you were a kid and said, "Can I play with your guitar?" And I was thinking, well, somebody should. So tell me a little bit about what, do you have any recollection of that?
Yeah. It's weird to think about because it's not like, I specifically went out to play that instrument, or I was really wanting to play that instrument. I just kind of stumbled across it, which I think that kind of happens.
If I had a viola, dusty, and broken under the bed, you could be a violist.
Yeah. I was. Yep. I was just a
dodge
short.
That bullet.
Yeah, I was a short step from playing the accordion. I could have been in a polka band.
I just couldn't fit an accordion under the bed.
My dream's a polka.
Well, you know, life is not over.
That's true.
Okay, but anyway, go ahead. Do you remember?
Great songs have been created because of polka. Weird Al, look at Weird Al.
I hear you, man. I am not arguing against polka. For real, there's some cool
like
polka
Cage the Elephant has a, they have a song because of polka.
What is the song?
I don't remember. But it was just based off of this guy who was playing in an airport. He was playing some kind of polka thing. And yeah.
Nice.
Inspiration from an airport. Good guitar player.
That's super cool.
But yeah, I just there's no reason. I just saw it and I picked it up and the strings were just big, like rust, just like barbed wire, you know, and
I was trying to save money on strings.
Very metal. Just playing with barbed wire, yeah.
Pain core.
That's the thing, I'm sure.
It is.
But yeah. Anyways. So I just picked it up and couldn't play anything on it, of course. But I was definitely interested in it, and so that pushed me to learn some like blister in the sun, and
that was my jam from the day. So when you could do blister, I think blister in the sun was like your first thing you could do.
Yeah.
That was like the Nathan version of Smoke on the Water.
Oh yeah, for sure. For people who don't get that reference, that's just because like that's the first thing that everybody plays. That and Seven Nation Army, it's like go-to. Just picked it up, and then I was fortunate enough for you guys to support me and get me a better instrument, and then I could. Continue to push myself, and since I didn't have any teacher of any kind, and it's not a super musical family, you like to play music and stuff, but it's not super ingrained, so I went online and through YouTube, and just it was a really scattered way of learning, but I was able to kind of build up piece by piece through that.
How did you figure out which YouTube videos? Because you were not old.
Mm-mm. No, it's probably before 12.
Like 9-ish, 9, 10.
Well, maybe, yeah, 10. 10.
10.
Yeah. I just got lucky, I guess. Mm-hmm. I just searched.
Well, I think, if I can just say, I don't think it was just luck because we did not push you. I mean, we got out of
your
way. We got out of your way. We're like, oh, he's doing music, so he...
Yeah, it's weird to think about. It's kind of like a blur. I was also a fortunate thing is I picked it up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just because I was really interested in it. It's I guess I haven't really thought about that, but yeah, I just picked it up really fast and I was able to get the basics down. And with that basic structure, once you go from there, it's really easy, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was really
natural.
Easy. It came, it was easy for you. So I see you brought your instrument to the studio today. So later in the show, I'm hoping that you'll you'll play.
Yeah, maybe something.
Later in the show.
Yeah.
So when we come back from the break, we will talk to Nate Rowe about what he's been creating and more about the creative process that he experiences. Be back in a minute. Okay, we're back with Nate Rowe talking about the creative process. So, Nate, don't mean to put you on the spot, but where would you like to begin with that? I feel like you know your process so well that I don't know how to even start asking questions.
Well, I guess I should know better, but there's so much to it. So to start off, there's never a single process or anything like that, of course. And oftentimes it's I think there's this major fallacy that with somebody who is creating that they will work towards something and then all of a sudden there'll be this like great aha moment, you know, and it'll just click. But I don't think that's always the case. I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll set aside all this time to work on something, really get it down, and then nothing will come from it. And then you're taking a shower later and then all of a sudden it clicks. And then you're, you know, running out half naked trying to write it down.
Does that happen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, things will click because you'll set aside time to work on something and you'll just work and work and work and you're putting all this effort in. But that time put in might not show itself right away. It might come later just because you've already put that time in. So that might be the aha moment, but I think that, there's so much, but,
So what are your thoughts? Can I?
Oh yeah, sure. Sure. I'll go. Okay.
So,
I'll go in all directions, lateral.
So what do you think of the concept of the muse?
I like the concept. I think it'd make a good tattoo.
Well, you know, there's a tattoo place that's called, I think it's called Muse or something like that.
Really?
I think so.
That's a band name. It's a good band.
Okay. Well, what do you think? Well, when you think about the idea of inspiration being, I mean, the muse would be like a metaphor or an archetype.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But it might be suggesting a real phenomenon, like a universal principle.
Absolutely. A lot of musicians, because I just surround myself with just music, just in every way possible. And I try to get ideas from everything I can. And as I've done that, I've seen a lot of people talk about the same idea or concept, the same concept of being an antenna. So they're not writing. They're not really like putting a lot of thought into each word that they're putting down. They're just writing, you know, and letting that information pass through them and then onto paper. They're not, they're more, consider themselves in like antennas rather than.
Right. Or that is analogous to one of the things that some people, and it makes perfect sense to me, and I definitely endorse it as a concept, which is that our brains aren't the broadcast, they're the radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
And so, sure. And that our brains are not the generators.
Well, that's the other thing too. We take information in from every source. I mean, since birth, right? It makes us who we are. And that's like the whole concept of nothing is original, you know? Mm-hmm. We're stealing from all these different mm-hmm. sources. Mm-hmm. And that's where creativity really, you know, blossoms. It's mm-hmm. It's not coming from nothing. It's coming from all these experiences. Whether you're looking for those experiences or not.
Mm-hmm. So, and there are, I've heard, and I can't think of the name of the musician right now, but I was listening to an interview with a musician who was talking about that he developed a relationship basically with the muse because mm-hmm. he'd be like driving along on the freeway or whatever, stuck in traffic without a pen, mm-hmm. no pad. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the most amazing music comes through right at that moment.
The same exact thing was with, somebody Mosshart from The Dead Weather. I forget her name. Allison Mosshart.
Oh, okay.
She'd get all these ideas from when she was.
Well, I'll remember who this guy was. He's definitely like old school, but
yeah,
but super famous. I'm not that good. I can totally picture him right now, but whatever.
Is he like an all American? Like,
no, he's like, he's American. He's from the United States, but he's dark. He's like
dark.
He has a dark aesthetic in terms of his musical stuff, and he's like somebody out there totally knows just from that what I'm talking about. So anyway, he made a deal. He said, "Look, I really
deal with the devil." That's where.
No, it's like a deal with a universal principle.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, this isn't cool. You guys, I promise to be present for you at an appointed time to get this mm-hmm. info. But if you're just gonna like guerrilla warfare me on it whenever, then that's not fair.
Yeah.
And so you want this music to come through. I want to receive it and get to take credit for it. Bonus. And I might be paraphrasing, as you might guess by the fact that I can't even remember who the guy is, but you know, I think I'm doing a good job. So I'll remember who it is as soon as, I don't know when I will, but anyway, so, and he said, you know, don't do this to me when it's not.
you'll remember it when you're in the shower later, and then
I'll run out and have to write it down really, or I'll podcast really fast. I'll do like an emergency podcast.
You'll just hear the overdub of you saying, you know, your guest name.
Oh,
every time you're saying
that. If only
that
were ridiculous. So that guy had a way to. He made that agreement right with the whatever that source mm-hmm. of insight is.
Yeah.
And then he said the important thing is you have to honor the commitment. Like if you tell the muse, as it were, mm-hmm. that you're going to meet with them at 2:00 on Wednesday or whatever, mm-hmm. you have to make it like a legit thing. And
like set aside some time and really work at it. Yeah. Because it's just like anything else. You need time to work on it. And I need to be better about that too. Because right now it's just kind of scattered and it's a lot harder to work like that. It's better just to set aside some real time, even if it's just a little bit of time, you know, and this is for anything you want to accomplish, whether it's creating something or anything like that. At least what I've seen, you just need to set aside, you know, they say like 15 minutes, but really just as much time as you can get away with, and really just focus on that one particular thing.
Mm-hmm. Something I've noticed about you is that you seem to be really driven and have a lot of passion. Like you'll magnetically go to your guitar like all the time.
Yeah. It's an addiction.
Well, you know, the difference between passion and addiction is addiction. It's all addiction, but I would say you want to get rid of the ones that'll kill you the fastest.
I think that's true. And, I think there's some truth. I think there's some real truth in that.
And unfortunately, people develop addictions to things that'll kill them. Yeah. And those are the ones that you want to just not do. But the passion is a very desirable thing. I think there's a lot of people, myself included, that have a hard time tapping into that. I don't know what it is. It's hard to surrender to that. So, and the reason I brought up the thing about, I see you as being really driven that way. I wonder about, what is your take on procrastination? Do you have any procrastination
stuff? Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just a wealth of weird information, I think, you know.
Really? That might be genetic.
Yeah. So if you're curious about something really weird, you're just like,
That's what the divine inspiration of the muse is downloading into me all the time.
Honestly, there's probably something to that though. It's like, if just like weird things that you know, there's probably some creativity to come from that. But anyways, yeah, so I saw this. Another thing about creativity or just being successful in a field is that to just cut out ego and just be aware that you are never going to be as smart as somebody else who's worked, you know, their entire life in that one field. Like, I'll be interested in a topic, right? Mm-hmm. Like a specific kind of drawing or something like that, right? And no matter how hard I work at that, they started before, way before they were, when they could barely speak. So they're going to be way above me forever, right? And they're just going to keep working.
They'll always be ahead of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just, if you're aware of that, and then you're able to take from them, because a great thing about looking at people who have been pioneers in whatever field, right? You can look at what they've already done and then start building from that. So it's like this. So it's really really
standing
good
thing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways.
I think, I really love that you're talking about this, because this is, I was going to say it's something I've been thinking a lot about lately, but I think in one way or another, I'm always thinking about it, which is that the way that we compare ourselves to other people and how that can be a paralysis, and how then the perfectionism, right? The perfectionism,
that's a real problem in with musicians for sure.
And artists.
Oh, absolutely.
Of any kind. Mm-hmm. And frankly, everybody.
True. That's very true.
In fact, folks that...
Well, that's the thing too, is that this all applies to anything.
It does. It does. I'd say the reason why it feels more relevant sometimes to artists or people who are trying to do stuff is because the fact that it is either thwarting their progress or angering them or turning them
into... Yeah, it's very clear. Like
a-holes. Is because it becomes more acute in people who are really, really driven.
Yeah.
And for some people, they use their perfectionism to motivate them, and they're afraid to lose it because they think blah, 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 that's what's motivating me. But I really think that's an illusion. I think that somehow they're just breaking through. They're like breaking through sometimes on the perfectionism, because usually what it does is it paralyzes people. Mm-hmm. I'd say more often than not, there are perfectionists that I, you know, in my work as a therapist, I work with perfectionism all the time, because, and what I mostly see is that it paralyzes people. It makes them procrastinate. Mm-hmm. And even when they do achieve something, they never can experience any joy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
So I think the perfectionism is, and this is also another rabbit hole. Do you want to go rabbit hole a little bit on this one?
Yeah. Let me just say about the procrastination things. We go off in any direction. That's the other thing too. Well, that's the thing about, like, another thing about creative process. Of course, now I'm going in another direction, but all the directions. But but another thing about the creative process is it's really, really a good thing to think laterally. You know.
And what do you mean by that? Tell me what you mean by that.
So you could think about one thing and just focus on that one thing, right?
Linearly,
exactly, right? Oh, okay. And by laterally, I mean like you're thinking about several things and then sort of weaving those things together, and those things can weave together. And you form new connections that way.
That's cool. I've never heard that before. Yeah. That's a cool concept.
OK Go is this band. They had this the lead singer, the main guy in it. He had this TED Talk, and he was talking about something very similar of taking these bulbs in a box, just ideas. And
so bulbs are a metaform for like the light bulb.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And just
bulbs in a box. I don't know. That's a title of something.
That's
bulbs in a box.
Yeah. That's going to be my autobiography.
Get going on that now, because if you don't, then later on you're going to forget all this stuff.
Yeah. That's a good point. I got to start collecting them. But that's the thing, you know, when you have those, you can build off of those, and they weave together.
When you say those, you mean like ideas.
Just generally, like, they don't even have to necessarily connect, but that way you can create really new and unique things. And the other thing with that is these pieces that you're using, they may not be completely unique, right? So I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but this is going to be out there.
Musically?
Musically specifically, this is going to be a little out there, but I was interested in a few musicians like Rain Wolf and a few people like that who would use little drums. They're one man band, you know, and instead of having the drums strapped to their back as they, you know, walked, they would.
Or like click their knees together with the little cymbals, which I don't care how good of a musician you are. All of your musician coolness just goes away.
As soon as you start clicking your cymbal knees together.
No, I know.
But anyways, he would do that drum thing, and he'd play the drums and the guitar and sing at the same time. And it was really interesting. And I wanted to use that idea.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly,
you were obsessed with that.
Oh, I still think it's a good idea.
Oh, it is.
Just.
I know where you're headed with this. Sorry.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Go on.
But recently, are you with me? Okay. But recently, I moved to I kind of went from flamenco to this new style, which is percussive guitar.
Go.
Okay, so yeah, I've gotten into this new genre of percussive acoustic guitar, and it's sort of using that.
Is it a different kind of guitar?
Nope, it's the same guitar. It's just using it as a drum set.
Right.
So it's taking that same idea, but then using the entire acoustic guitar as this drum set. And it's sort of taking that one man band thing and then just reshaping it. And I stumbled across that just through this journey of trying to find how to fill the musical space I wanted to without having eight other guys with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of musicians who are really doing that a lot now, right? Like really mm-hmm. creating things.
Yeah.
And big with
loop pedals is a good way. I'm wanting to get into that. But anyways, those things, those were just, you know, just a bulb in the box, you know?
You mean in the box of your
of ideas? Yeah, it's just ideas. Collected ideas. Yeah. So that was just in the back of my mind. So it's like
it's like an art project right there.
It's a big collage.
I want to tell you this funny idea.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Later.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
On this in a minute.
After okay. But
see, that's the trouble. There's like
This is lateral thinking at its finest. It's.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. We're going in all these directions, and that's where. Like,
but it, good the discussion, bulb in a box creativity. Is an art installation sculpture type thing, interactive. That, but this is okay.
So that's actually a good idea.
Can I just say that? So then,
yeah.
So this is the other idea that I had just today mm-hmm. is, you know, those conspiracy boards with the yarn, and, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Where people like the crazy, I mean, that's town yarn.
That's the pinnacle of collage right there. That's like, that's as high as you can go.
Right. It's the big old bulb in a box on a board. Bulbs on a board.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Box. Bulb.
I wouldn't spend too much time
box.
On that. Box. That can be another bulb. That can be for a later day.
Shane, put aside that bulb. Okay, fine. I get it. So, but I was thinking like, but it's always like kind of, it implies, it always like makes you think of something really dark, like, either the guy is insane or he's talking about something that is legitimately really super bad.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking it would be cool to do one as an art installation, but all of the yarn keeps, like, there's all these problems and weird things that all the yarn is like zippity zapping around, but it all ends up, all the yarn in mm-hmm. all the different things all unites at a spot that says peace and love.
I love it.
Isn't that cool?
That's good. Or just like a block of cheese or something. Or just something really, just like.
Well, okay. You wanted to go kind of the absurdist thing.
It's absurdist either way.
Oh, I don't mean it absurdist in my way. I mean, it's my intention. No, I get it. I mean, I
like it. Hey,
I'm an old school absurdist.
Old school absurdist.
Like I'm like original gangsta.
Like elephants with crow
absurdism.
Legs. Crow legs absurdist or before that?
Oh, that's surrealism.
Oh, that's surrealism. Oh, okay.
So yeah, no,
I guess I'm thinking yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, absurdism. Oh, OMG. Why am I doing this? But absurdism.
This is lateral
super duper duper fast of what absurdism is.
Okay, yeah.
It's an offshoot of existentialism. It's kind of it's like if nihilism and existentialism had a baby and named it Jeff. No, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I even said that. That was
because
my
name's Jeff.
Ridiculous.
The my name's Jeff meme.
I don't even know about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so absurdism basically the. To distill the concept of absurdism.
Okay. This is where this is going. Yeah.
Is that it is based on an idea that the universe is devoid of any meaning. It has no meaning. There is no meaning whatsoever in the universe. However, human beings have this unfortunate impulse to seek meaning.
Oh yeah, that's how we get superstition and stuff, right?
Well, hey, dude, I ain't no absurdist, so I'm not endorsing this.
Okay,
I'm not endorsing this as a philosophy.
I'm not endorsing it either.
You better not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, I was a devout absurdist in my late teens, early 20s. Yeah,
you are selling it. You're selling it right now.
I'm selling it. No, I was a relatively thoughtful adolescent, so I wouldn't have just, you know, jumped into an idea structure that literally no one I knew had any idea about. Plus, you know, it was like early 20th century French existentialism. Yeah, I was like a I was like a party on the go.
Oh, yeah.
I was all...
You're a real riot.
I was fun times. But anyway, okay. So what
happened? I bet your dates went really well.
I didn't have any dates.
Like you brought it.
Exactly. That's a, like, seriously, that's like a showstopper.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, let's go to the library and talk about
that would have been great. I think that's great.
Well, well, I
would have been interested. I would have been intrigued.
I was that plus weird.
Probably. Oh, okay.
No, I was just exactly like I am now, but it's aged well.
Okay, yeah.
So, anyway, so that creates what's called the tension between a universe with no meaning and the desire to seek meaning or find meaning that creates this tension, what they call the tension of the absurd, which... I really bought into that.
This sounds interesting. It sounds like it's right up my alley.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. But I'm going to spoiler alert on where I came out on the other side of that sausage factory on that. Because at a certain point, and this was an aspect of like a revelation or a part of a spiritual opening that I had. Thank goodness. Because nihilism doesn't end well. Let's put it that way. But
what's that movie? Fight Club. It was fine in Fight Club.
Dude, I fell asleep halfway through Fight Club. I still haven't seen the end.
Really?
Isn't that awful? I need to.
It's
asleep.
A good movie.
I totally need to see it. It's like a cultural trope. Mm-hmm. I fell asleep when Brad Pitt was on the phone talking to the lady who was fixing to kill herself.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I fell asleep. So I don't know what happened after that. Anyway, so don't tell me. Eventually I will watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I kind of have heard a little few things. I have an idea. But let's just let me have it organically. So I experience it organically. Anyway, so, long story, medium length, because it's no short stories in my world.
Okay.
I eventually, on the other side of the sausage machine, came to an awakening.
Yeah.
And an aspect of the awakening was, check it out. Okay, this is good stuff. That we are made of the universe, right? We are not made of anything else. Like, if we're here, we are made of the same stuff as the universe itself.
Right, yeah.
So, if we have an impulse and a desire for meaning, then meaning must exist. We would not have an impulse toward meaning if meaning wasn't there to respond back. Otherwise, we are these incredibly special kinds of critters that are outside of the universe itself. It's a kind of a weird religious impulse in and of itself, a religious impulse that is anti-religious, if you get what I mean. It's like what?
I was just thinking about your title, the title of this podcast.
That's cool. This is about the creative process because we're having a creative process.
No, I was thinking about the title of your podcast. It's exactly what you just said.
Oh, spiritual, not religious.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally, dude. Yeah. No, that's a good, that's as close to I've ever, that's as close.
It's meta.
Yeah, that's right. Well, my whole show's about that. Like,
yeah, I know.
So anyway, so that, and that really gelled for me. And that was an aspect that was like, a key to a door that got me out of like a really dark place. If that makes sense. So anyway, so that's absurdism. And that was truly a rabbit hole. And I hope you enjoyed the Mad Hatter's tea party.
Very interested in it now. It sounds intriguing.
Well, the guy who is known for absurdism specifically is Albert Camus, which looks like Albert Camus because he's French. And his good buddy, Jean-Paul Sartre, and that's probably not pronounced as well as it could be for the true connoisseurs of French pronunciation. I'm quite sure I've disappointed you. Psycho killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Anyway.
Good break this song.
Oh my gosh, just there are so many bulbs in this box.
Yeah, there's, yeah, it's, exactly. That's what I meant by lateral thinking. It's just like, it's like this. Like I was having this conversation, again, going off, but I was having this conversation with somebody. And I was talking about one thing, and then I was like, oh, it reminded me of this other thing. So I started talking about this other thing. And then, oh, it reminded me of this other thing. Mm-hmm. And then so they're, you know, like trying to follow me. But it was fun. And it was just like, and we're both laughing about
and
like.
And some people have a really hard time following. I don't, honestly.
Yeah. No, it's intriguing because as you're going through this journey of all sorts of different paths, you pick up a lot of information that.
Well, one of the things I like to say is that I always have seven equally interesting to me trains of thought running simultaneously at all times. And I have to sometimes really discipline myself to stay on one.
We need to make seven different ones of these, right? And then like upload one and then delete it and upload another one and just pretend like it's the same one. And they all just go off in different directions.
Oh my god! It'd be like
like alternate reality.
Oh my god! We'd be like alternate realities. Well, if I suck any worse at my technology stuff, we might end up doing that anyway.
Yeah,
they just won't all be recorded.
Oh, okay.
It'll just be some of them will just be vague memories. But anyway. So all right, so let's. Take another quick break and be back in a minute. Hi, we are back, and I have convinced Nate to bring his his guitar up to the microphone. And we were talking earlier, Nate, about the. What were you calling the acoustic?
It's percussive.
Percussive
guitar. It's also, I think people also call it like finger style, but that's a different thing. So I don't know why people call it that. Anyways.
Okay, but this is an original piece of yours, right? That you're gonna.
Yeah, it's just this is just what I've been working on, just the past little bit.
Sure.
Short, and it's not a full piece, but it's incorporating all these sort of like. Ideas that I've had, you know? So yeah,
ideal. The title of this piece is "Bulbs in a Box."
This is "Bulbs in a Box."
Not really.
No,
but I would just like to say for the record that I come up with epic band names and album names all the time, and they pretty much all get shot down. But if I had thought of a bunch of the names of the bands that he really likes, also would have gotten shut down.
There's probably some truth to that.
Okay, so Nate is gonna play this original piece. Go ahead. That is really cool. Thank you. It is really interesting to see how you turn the guitar into basically two instruments simultaneously.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering, you know, you mention always a lot of bands and you're always like aware of like some old bands and some new bands and some bands I've never heard of and some people that turn out to later not when I find out and have a conversation, they're not really a band, and that's awkward for me. But you know, mm-hmm. you know that happens. I was never cool, and now I have an excuse. Woohoo! Once you get to a certain age, you can. I used to be cool. In my case, that would not be true. But you know. So what are the what are the cutting edge coolnesses?
Well, I'm always bouncing from one thing to the next. For a long time, I'm still semi-obsessed with all of Jack White's newer projects, mm-hmm. like The Dead Weather I mentioned earlier with Alison Mosshart.
He's like Mr. Multi-Project.
Oh,
dude.
He's so cool. He has The Dead Weather. He has his own personal stuff.
Hugh Laurie.
I was about to mention Hugh Laurie. I really was.
Sorry, I had
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you ruined it.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
you ruined it. He was the next guy I was going to mention because they both, because both of them, of course, Hugh Laurie, he's more in the, I get where you're going with that because we were probably on this, we're probably psychically thinking the same thing as mm-hmm. these, like what's the word for people who do a lot of different things? Renaissance man?
Is that yeah.
The, yeah. They're, both of them are really Renaissance men. Hugh Laurie, he does these amazing like New Orleans style music, great piano player, really, really, really cool. On a whole nother level, Jack White is too. Both of them as well kind of are going, trying to go back before the digital too.
And like Jack White has, that thing where he does vinyl and whatever.
Yeah, he has one of the very few. Something about it is completely unique to him as well. But he had in the back of his Third Man Records store where you can buy all sorts of merch of his stuff. He prints vinyl records, so. You can go in there. Mm-hmm. They have this sort of like a phone booth kind of thing, like picture booth kind of thing. You go in there with your instrument or whatever. You play a song. It'll record it, and while it's doing that, it's simultaneously cutting a record.
That's how they did it in the olden days.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Let's go in and cut a record. Okay.
Yeah, so that's super cool. They're kind of doing not so digital stuff. Some people who are really using digital sorts of things, not really techno, but I'm not really influenced by any techno, that kind of digital, but like using modern technology to get really, really weird sounds, mm-hmm. you know?
I never really thought I liked techno stuff,
yeah.
But it's like, it's got like this hippie branch
really?
To it.
I haven't dug that much into it. I'm sure there's something to be learned from it.
There's some sort of hippie stuff with it. Like, you know,
but,
new
school hippies. But anyways.
Hippie core.
Nah, they're just.
Well, you know, are you familiar about the concept of the third man? Do you know that concept?
You mean like middleman kind of thing? Mm-mm. No, third man.
If it is what I think it is, a third man is a concept that I think originated with people like Arctic explorers or whatever, people really? Very close to death, and they would often experience another person being with them.
Huh.
And that's called the third man. And so I wonder if – so it's interesting because we're talking about the muse and we're talking about unseen mm-hmm. forces mm-hmm. and then we've got the third man.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. Cool. That's something to search up. Yeah, that's super interesting. I need to look into that.
You're always saying that you want mm-hmm. to know all this stuff and you're like, why aren't you telling me anything?
Right.
I'm like, well, I don't know how to – I don't know what you don't know.
There's all these sayings I don't know.
I found
this one saying. I don't know if I should even say this because I'll be – bringing it out into the world, you know,
and
I don't.
Hey, but you're dibsing it.
Oh, but I'm dibsing it. Okay, so this they'll know it. But
officially,
I found this little saying. It was like bone idol, and I really liked it.
But isn't there already a band of that called Bone Idol?
No, I don't know of.
Okay, go ahead then.
But anyways, And it's like, I guess, like working to exhaustion. And you just like can't work anymore and bone idle.
Oh, so like idle, meaning unable to move.
Exactly, like bone idle.
So not like an idol made of bone.
Yeah.
Like, not like a bone idol.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. I think
idleness due to exhaustion.
Yeah, exactly. So bone idle blues. I'm just thinking that sounds like a good name.
Dibs.
Just okay. But anyways, other influences.
Oh, and by the way, in case he needs to, that thing that he just created with the that is owned by Bone Idle Blues.
Bone Idle Incorporated.
LLC.
LLC. But I'd actually have to actually make that though.
He made it. Okay. So don't be stealing his stuff because I got this on recording.
Anyways. Well, it's just a small piece anyway. So I was like, I don't know what. That little thing is so far out there that I think somebody would have to actually go to some real trouble to steal it.
And all several of my all several of my podcast listeners.
Oh, several. Yeah.
Okay, several might be a little bit generous.
Oh no, I thought that was okay. But, okay, sure. you're being okay.
I'm just being how I am, which is however this is. So. Who else? What other kind of influences?
Recently, I got turned on to Julian Casablancas and the Voids.
That sounds like a surfing band.
Oh, you know what sounds like a surfing band that I also found was Ty Segall.
Say again?
Ty Segall. It's
Ty Segall? Or
I believe. It might be Segall. Ty Segall. I think it's Ty Segall.
Oh, a dude's name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
when I first Seagal. Heard it, when I first heard it, I was like Seagull, like they're saying Seagull. But then I read it, and I was like, that doesn't look like Seagull.
You thought that they were inhibiting the flight of a seagull. With
I
ropes.
Prefer the band name Ty Segall. So if that's, I guess they haven't stolen that name. So I'm gonna use Ty Segall. Anyways,
I think that's mean to seagulls. Anyways,
but I think it's Seagull. But anyways, that's another one that sounds like a surfer, Ty Segall.
Do you know what you should check out? And it's really retro, and I'm not saying it would be like a thing, but have you ever listened to The Ventures?
No.
It's old school surfer music.
Oh, I might have heard of it, but.
Dude, you got to check it out.
Okay.
It's weirdly retro and edgy at the same time.
Is it? How new is it?
Not.
Oh, it's like. So it's not very retro.
I don't know any.
If it's just.
Oh, I mean retro like the original source.
Oh, okay.
The retroness.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying it's poser retro.
Neo
retro. Bloop. I'm sorry. I was. You know how I like to freestyle with my rapping.
Oh no. Anyways, Julian Casablancas and the Voids, they're really good. They have this album called Tyranny. This song
you've talked about.
Yeah, that. There's this song called Human Sadness, which is something like that. But it's just so weird. It's like when you listen to it, it's like 20 different songs all mashed together, and it's really a journey. It's not like it's like a 10-minute song, and it's just. Yeah, it's really a journey, and there's something interesting about that.
Heck yeah. Oh yeah.
There's a lot to be taken from it.
Right. Is that one band that you had me listen to a musical composition mm-hmm. that was really
definitely
it was
surreal.
So many different things going on. It mm-hmm. almost seemed like it was like in a time machine. You know how
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Really.
Like, you know how in time machines in shows, like they go through and then all the warped. Like the little, well, in, I don't know, in like all the like little tropes of the different eras pass by them, like pictures of Hitler pictures of
mm-hmm.
some other famous person and JFK and Marilyn Monroe. like that's what time travel mm-hmm. would be, like pictures of people. Yeah.
That's another thing I've been thinking about recently is tropes and cliches.
Mm-hmm.
And how I've really, really been trying to avoid cliches because they're just horrible.
Mm-hmm. But I think if you dig into cliches, you can find other layers to them too. Maybe. I'm not saying that you should, but
I've just found that like if you say oh, he turned, like, there's somebody talking about it, and he was saying that if you turn, the guy turned like a deer in headlights towards the woman, right? You don't literally think of a deer in headlights. You think of the man turning. So it's kind of lost its meaning, you know? This plus, has been so overused.
Plus, is she headlights? Well, ooh, I didn't mean to go there, but I mean, that's how headlights? It makes it. Is like she like have a big lamp. Oh,
now it's getting surreal.
If she had a lamp on her head.
Yeah,
see
never,
what I mean?
Never,
that's the nether
good,
level.
Good point. It's not cliche. But that's like,
I don't feel like you're really endorsing the direction
no,
I'm going.
That's
right
like
now.
Forcing the audience to not think about it as. But anyways, yeah. But cliches. When you think about cliches, you're thinking about it as like a whole nother thing. You're thinking about it as that cliche, not as what it's trying to express. Because it's just so overused.
True. It's true. But the thing about it, I think there's, and this is
so that's another
this
thing
is another
to
rabbit
hole.
Well, I totally completely agree okay, with you yeah. that they. They don't land.
Mm-hmm.
They don't land.
Exactly.
But just as a like a little side rabbit hole,
mm-hmm.
there's certain like things that are totally cliches until that's... you have an experience of them. And I'll give you
okay.
an example. Cause like the expression, the calling a baby a bundle of joy.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard that
mm-hmm.
like, and just ugh, ugh, bundle of joy. But then the first time I had a baby, which happened to be your older brother, and it was true when I had you as well, was that they're all bundled up and you feel joy. And so it's this real thing. Like you go, oh my God,
a
bundle of joy. This is so great. And it was like, wow, wow. Like, so that was like, so that's an example. Like sometimes there's like these,
yeah,
there's like these weird.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's these like cliches. Cliches are they have the energy of their original meaning, and that's how they're able
mm-hmm.
to like continue even
maybe,
as an empty
maybe.
Shell for as long as they do. I think.
But I think
that was deep.
But I think also, I think also, I'm always hunting for like really like profound metaphors too, which
mm-hmm.
oftentimes those cliches are metaphors.
They always are.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, really no, are. Bundle of Joy turns out not.
And there's this one metaphor in a song by Cage the Elephant. Also, Cage the Elephant is a huge influence. They're insanely awesome. Anyways, in one of their songs, they say something about people's eyes cast down. And then he says that he's going to keep his eyes fixed on the sun. And of course, that's like sort of
super bad idea for retinal damage.
Yeah, it's a bad idea, but it's like this really good metaphor. This is really good. It's like really good imagery for.
It is good imagery.
Yeah, but staying positive. And like,
mm-hmm.
I see that.
I'll go super literal on that one. And
oh,
think,
yeah. But anyways, like, yeah, there's something to that
mm-hmm.
that I'm trying to find right now.
Very cool. Very cool. So Nate, you were saying earlier that one thing you wanted to make sure you talked about was the concept of failure. And I think failure fits elegantly in a discussion of creativity because and perfectionism and procrastination
oh,
and every
absolutely.
Dang old thing.
Mm, true. Yeah. So it's really good just to go out and seek information because everything I'm saying has been said better by somebody else. But
you're preaching to the choir, dude.
Yeah.
I have a whole podcast about the fact that everything that I just said is said better by someone else. I'm going to say it anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, it's like, yeah, but it's like, this is the place to get all of this different information in one, you know, one spot. So, but anyways.
That was the endorsement for my podcast. From
oh,
from
yeah.
Nate. It's the one-stop shop for all of your interesting ideas.
all the weird ideas, as we were talking
all
about earlier.
All the weird ideas will be covered.
But but anyways, it's this idea that failure. Well, let's say I want to be the next Eddie Van Halen,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, because as a guitar player, he was you know.
He was the guy.
He was the guy.
He was the guy at the time.
He's not the guy now.
He's not the guy now, but he's a guy. If you ever get to be the guy,
exactly.
That's done.
A good point. Okay. So yeah, if I want to be the next Eddie Van Halen.
Unless you're Bob Dylan. Then you're just Bob Dylan forever.
I want to be the next Bob Dylan.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. But anyways. So I work really, really hard at that. I am never going to be identical to him, right? Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be that perfect.
You won't have Eddie Van Halen-ness.
Yeah, I won't ever perfectly be him, right? But as I work towards that and I fail in becoming him, I start to form my own brand, my own personality, and my own image, right?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Can I jump in?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I think, and how we started on this topic earlier when we were talking about it was I was talking about how my brand is being kind of loose and not perfect, and how the reality of the fact that I'm not going to be perfect on this podcast, I decided, well, I'll just make that my brand.
Yeah, make your flaws into your brand.
And that's a awesome bonus because it makes it, it justifies the fact that some of my technical skills are not, are of a 53-year-old woman. So anyway, which, hey, no diss, I'm not dissing 53-year-old women, by the way. If there's any, I'm going to get like 53-year-old women are technology wizards. Well, nobody's going to say that.
No, you have to worry about it.
But yeah, absolutely. So I think that, and that ties back into why it's that balance between the drive and the passion of wanting to achieve the next level, and doing that without ever feeling like the intent, the thing you have to do is to reach some state of perfection, because right. Perfection is a static thing. Oh, bonus, the Eddie Van Halen thing. He was the guy at the time, mm-hmm. which was probably a kind of moment of perfection in the timeline of history, right? Mm-hmm. But it would have.
And now you have Tosin Abasi, who's the guy, you know, mm-hmm. who's playing with an extra two strings mm-hmm. because six strings wasn't enough for him.
I know. Sometimes I'm like that. I'm like, oh, six strings. What am I supposed to do with those? There are 12 string guitars.
Tosin Abasi, that's another influence. He's on another plane, though.
I always think of Toaster Strudels when you say his name, though.
Yeah,
no offense.
Tosin Abasi.
Okay. I just probably made a lot of Tosin Abasi fans disgruntled by suggesting, but it does. It sounds like Toaster Strudel to me. A little bit it does. Not his music, though. No. Okay, well, I want to just say thank you so much. This was like the coolest conversation, and I'm really grateful.
Thank you.
And I hope that will you come back and be on my show again.
Yeah, I'll make the long journey.
Oh, gotta get on that plane and the bus, and was there a hot air balloon at one point?
And
a lot of walking. There was a lot of walking too, uphill. Some of it was uphill.
Mm-hmm.
So
all of it was uphill.
And then the next time when you're on, if you're cool with it, why don't we set up the gear for you to play some of your electrical guitar stuffs?
Yeah, for sure.
I would really like that. So thank mm-hmm. you.
Okay. Yeah, I might be able to do a little more with that.
Woohoo! I'm going to make those noises a lot, and it's going to be awkward for both of us. Woohoo! Bye-bye! Sorry. That's what I do. Okay, great. All right. So thanks to everyone who listened. Before we forget, you have a show coming up on July 13th. Isn't it July
17th?
July 17th, yeah. Where you're going to be the first time performing with his singing partner, who is a really great singer, Faith.
Oh, yeah.
Head is going to be there. It's going to be at the Hive on the 17th. And you guys are going to be doing, what are you guys doing? You guys are going to do a set. And you're doing a set of some cool covers. What are you covering?
Yeah. Well, we have Psycho Killer. Which you mentioned, right? To bring it back. Another thing to bring it back is Seven Nation Army, but it's a much cooler cover than the basic, you know, one string thing that people always do. I think quite unique. Of course, Billie Eilish. I Don't Want to Be You Anymore, because, you know.
Yeah, and Faith does a beautiful.
Oh, yeah, her voice is very similar.
She has a really good voice.
Yeah. Two, and then we got Hellfire and Golden Dandelions. Those are going to be fun.
This is the part where I nod as if I know what those songs are.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, I'm old.
And Come Together by the Beatles.
I know that one.
And yeah,
because I'm old.
and for Come Together, I'll be doing that percussion. That percussion acoustic thing too. So
awesome sauce. Okay, that's gonna be such a cool deal. Really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And okay, so you'll be back in the near future episode, I hope. And thanks to everybody. Please, if you'd like to visit my website, greatermindintegration.com, you can look into, if you'd like to schedule an appointment with me, I do coaching and counseling and a lot of other kinds of things to help people be motivated, move through their creativity blocks. I'd like to take complete and total credit for the fact of my sons and my other sons' success and creativity, and then they can be my. No, I'm just kidding. I have absolutely nope. All we did with these boys is just get out of their way and try to keep them from, you know, running into traffic. That was about all we did, right? Not much. No. Showed you how to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, that's all the skills you need. Don't run into traffic, make peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
And the rest is on you.
And the rest is on
I feel like that's solid. I feel like that's pretty solid.
Pro parenting advice, pro tip.
It's a pro tip. No, really. It's a short book, but I could write the parenting book on that. Okie dokie. All right. Thanks again. And I'll put links to my website and also, if you have any questions for my podcast and would like to leave me a voicemail, you can do that. And I will leave the link for leaving a voicemail to this podcast in the episode notes, as the fancy podcast people call it. Thank you, and talk to you next time.